Thank you, Lord. Lord, we're looking for a great time tonight. Everybody is. Praise you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Honorable Sete. Thank you, Jesus, my Lord and my God, my all in all. Life of my life. Glory be to God in spirit of my spirit. I praise you, Father. We just ask and we pray that you look with mercy on all of us, Lord, and fill us up with your Holy Spirit so much that our hearts ain't got room for nothing else but you, Lord. And Lord, I ask that you keep us from doing anything that's going to be displeasing to you. Displeasing to you, Father. Don't want that at all. Move it out of us, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would keep us from all worldliness and from all self-pleasure that we want to do for ourselves. Lord, we don't want to do nothing but what you want us to do. And we thank you for it, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to live filled with your Holy Spirit and to be led continually by that Holy Spirit in Jesus' mighty name. And Father God, we put your will in us to wholly serve you and to surrender totally everything across the board. Put it on the altar for you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that we would make no provisions for our flesh to fulfill any lust that's still in us, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord, for your faith that's put in us to believe in the love and the power of God to keep us day by day, in Jesus' mighty name. Our thoughts continually should be on you, Lord, and we thank you for doing that for us, Lord, and glory be to God. Take away from our hearts all that's opposed to you, Lord. Everything that's opposed to you, pull it out, Lord, by the roots in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. And we ask, Lord, and we pray that all that's opposed to you, that you would enter in and move it out and abide there yourself, Lord. And that's all we want, is our hearts be continually flooded with nothing but you, Father, at all times. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome night. It's going to be such an awesome night, Lord. It's going to be a memorable one. And I praise you for it, Father. And I believe, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is working now. Your angels are out in the now about to keep this everybody's communication intact, and nobody's going to have any problems in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for your word that tells us how to live, the standard that we live by, the true standard that we live by, Father. And I ask and I pray, Lord, that you put fire in everybody's heart tonight to get the gospel out and to pray continually as you've asked us to do so many times. And I thank you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that my brothers and sisters agree by faith that everything we pray tonight is going to be answered, because we believe, Lord. We believe what your word says. Your word says that when we pray and we believe that we have received that, we're going to get it. And I praise you for it, Father. And I thank you that everybody tonight, it's got that great and bold faith, God. We got some things to pray about. And I praise you, Father, for all that you're going to accomplish this night through us, your people, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Okay. Praise the Lord. I tell you what, I'm pumped up. I don't know about y'all. Glory to God. I'm ready for the Lord to make a move here. Don't y'all? Well, I'm going to have to pray for y'all. Glory to God, I'm going to have to pray for every one of y'all. Go ahead, Greg.
I'm just agreeing with you, Michael.
Okay. All right. Praise God. I got one agreement.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Has anybody got a prayer request? You know, I ran across, I heard somebody talking about this the other day. Let me find it here. What did I do with it? Oh, yeah. James 5:13. Is any among you suffering? Is any among you suffering? Let him pray and let him sing praises. That's all it takes, folks. If you're suffering, pray, praise God, and then sing God's praises. And it'll go away. I guarantee you, And when you got all this group here praying together, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get an answer to your prayer. Isn't that right, Judy? Shake your head. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise God forevermore. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? Go ahead, Megan.
Hello? Hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Okay, I have a prayer request for my home. Before my mom passed away, was far behind taxes and if today someone have a letter by mail want to invest to buy the home, I don't want to give my home away. So I need prayer to have the house paid, me and my sister. So yeah.
Okay. Is it a lot of money or just a minimal amount or what?
They're about at least $2,000 is due next month.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. You want to keep the house, right?
Right.
Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we lift up Megan and his sister to you, Lord. Megan's faithful to you, Lord, and we thank you for her. She's a blessing. And Father, we ask and we pray that this taxes show up. The money for the taxes show up in Jesus' name. We call it forth right now in the name of Jesus for the taxes to be paid on that house before it's due. Lord, you paid your taxes. You had your taxes paid by going and catching a fish and getting the money out of a fish. And you could do the same thing for Megan in a different way. And Father, I thank you that Megan's going to see your glory and she's going to give it to you when the money shows up, because I know it's going to show up because you're a good God, you're a loving God, and you have grace and mercy. And I ask and I pray, Father, that you do that for Megan in Jesus' name. We call that money to come forth for Megan in the name of Jesus, on time, every time, in Jesus' name. Amen. God can provide, will provide, and does provide in the name of Jesus for Megan and her sister. You believe that, Megan?
Yes.
Okay, that money's coming, girl. Look for it in the mail. It's coming. Or however high it comes. I don't know. But I do know it's coming.
Amen.
It's either coming or it's going to be deleted, one or the other. But it's going to be paid. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father, for doing that for Megan and his sister. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Yeah, Missy.
I have two prayer requests. Blake is going for her 6-month checkup, and Brooke said that she's due for some shots or whatever. So I'm going to pray about that. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for watching over her, protecting her, that these shots are completely null and void. They're just placebos. There's nothing in them whatsoever that can harm her in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for doing that. And I thank you, Lord, for healing that on her face too, in Jesus' name. And Kurt, Brooke, and Blake are supposed to come Friday. And at this point, the weather's looking a little iffy, so I want to pray about that. Father, I just ask you to make the weather cooperative when they leave and through the mountains and on their way home too, Lord, that they not have any issues with the weather, Lord, and that they just get here safely in a timely manner. And I thank you, Lord, for blessing our time with them coming up this weekend, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, for blessing us, blessing little Blake. And she's such a joy. And I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to share something. It's a testimony that Brooke, can you all hear me?
Yeah. Yeah,
okay,
go
ahead. Okay, just making sure. Brooke told me this the other day while I was still down in Tennessee that, she told me Saturday, what happened Saturday, and then she told me what happened Friday, but what happened Saturday was this, I think my other sister-in-law, Megan, told her about Blake's had this eczema, infant eczema, and the doctor gave her something in it, and it helped, but it's not gone. And so anyway, Megan told her about this this lady to go to that has a shop that sells natural remedies, oils, and stuff like that. And she had a baby herself that had this problem, and it went away with what she put on it and all. And so she was telling Brooke all about it, and she gave her $30 worth of product for free. And here Brooke said that the store that they have helps to finance or they use it to raise money for ministry that they have or whatever. And I thought, wow, you know, and I thought, what a blessing, you know, because I, you know, we all don't believe in those remedies and all, but, you know, it's the Lord's meeting her where she's at. And it's a Christian that, you know, did her, was kind to her. But then the day before, she was at the diner that they like to go to with Blake. I don't know if anybody else was with her. She didn't tell me. But anyway, a lady came up to her, and an older lady, she said, and said that, can I see your baby? And Brooke says, yes. So she looked out. She says, oh, that's the prettiest baby I've ever seen. And anyway, she gave her $20. She says, here's $20 for your baby. And she said, the Lord's told me to give this to you. You know, and I was like, wow, 2 days in a row, you know, just blessed by Christians. And I was like, wow, Lord, that's awesome. So that was really awesome. So I know the Amen. Lord's really, you know, trying to touch their hearts, you know. I told him, I said, the Lord really loves you, you know. So that was great. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for them pretty little babies.
Amen.
All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Vanita.
Hi. Just two things. My daughter just texted and her speedometer went out while she was driving. So if we could pray about that. And also, she has a six-month-old dog, and she just texted about that too, and something happened to his eye, so she was on the way to the vet. So I'm not sure what that was about. Hopefully he can still see and doesn't need any major surgery or anything, but seems to be getting attacked. So we could just pray for her.
Okay. What's wrong with the dog?
I don't know. His eye was off a little bit when we were there, but the vet at the time said there was nothing okay. to worry about.
Yeah. But, okay, Lord, we just command that dog to be healed in the name of Jesus and be a good little dog in Jesus' name. And also, Lord, we command that. You said it was a speedometer on her car?
Yeah, her speedometer.
Okay. We command that speedometer to work right now in the name of Jesus. We command it to start working. Lord, we thank you that your angels are there already fixing it in Jesus' name. And we just praise you, Father, that with our faith and Benita's faith and our daughter's faith, that speedometer is fixed in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe it. We've had a lot of cars fixed in that area, Benita, here. So it's done.
Yay.
It's done. Okay. Anybody else? Is there anything else? Did I miss something?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Tim.
You got a praise report that might help with Benita's daughter's faith building a little bit. My favorite chainsaw has been acting up the last four or five times I tried to run it. It coughed and sputtered and wouldn't stay running. I couldn't get through a 3-inch branch and was really getting frustrated with it. And I just set it aside and, you know, been just threw it on the ground for a while. And tonight had about an hour before dark and a little bit of wood I needed to get cleaned up. And so, well, I'm going to see what's wrong with that chainsaw. So I took the cover off and thought, well, it must have a clogged air filter. Got it, took that off, and there was nothing in the air filter, nothing wrong with it. And I was just thinking about, you know, tearing into it a little bit, and I didn't really want to, and I just heard a voice in my spirit say, pray for it. Just that simple, just pray for it. So, okay, I can do that. So I put the lid back on it, and prayed for it, and fired it up, and that thing cut until after dark without any misses, no sput, totter.
Amen.
Dying, nothing. It just ran like a top for the whole hour. And I just thank you, Lord. You know, I've remembered to thank the Lord this time when he delivered, give me a fixing like that. So thank you, Lord, for fixing that chainsaw and making it the easy way instead of the Tim's old hard ways.
Look at there. Can y'all see those puppies? Can y'all hear me? Y'all see those puppies?
I just don't know if Leo's going to give one away or not. You can convince him, maybe.
I'd like to buy one if one's for sale.
Crickets.
Crickets. Those are cute puppies. I'll take the dark one. I'll take another one then. All right. They're generally the smartest. I don't know why. Yeah, Denny.
I was gonna ask Vanita how Frank is doing.
He's still in a lot of pain and kind of weak right now, but he said the sciatica pain that he had in his leg is gone. So that seems to have helped that. He's just not, it just happened Friday. So he's not really able to get up and do much right now, but he's in good spirits and doing pretty well.
Okay. Lord, we just thank you. It's done. That he is healed in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father. Amen. Okay. Anyone else?
I had something, Michael.
Yes, sir.
We made some ribs last night again. I made two racks of ribs like I usually do because what's one? One's not enough. You know, you got to make two. And I was like, well, we can't eat all this. So the Lord put it on my mind to invite this guy, Ben. He works close to where we live. He's building a couple apartments. And I was like, hey, he's probably hungry. So I just texted him and I asked him if he was hungry. And when he showed up, he was with one of his workers, and he was literally talking to him about being hungry, that they should go eat somewhere. So it was like an answer to him, like, hey, let's go eat at Fio's. And he's like, was he listening to us? Was he reading our minds or what? Man, that's the Holy Spirit. Anyway, so yeah. He brought this kid. And he's a 15-year-old troubled teen, you could call it, I guess. Broken home. He has I guess he has two dads. One's out of state. His real dad is out of state, and he has one here. But, I mean, he was down. I could tell right away that he had some kind of childhood trauma, even though he didn't say anything. And I even called it out. I told him. I was like, man, this seems like you have, like, some kind of childhood trauma the way you talk to us. You know, we're in our 30s, all three of us that were there, and then he was 15. And he talks to us like, you know, he's our age. So it's kind of weird, you know, for a 15-year-old. So we got to talking about till 2:30 in the morning and talk about some really tormenting spirits in his mind. I mean, he basically made a mistake, he says, back in the day. He can't forgive himself. He doesn't believe God will forgive him because God doesn't want to forgive him. You know, he's got all these lying devils in his mind that just won't let him be at peace, and it's everybody else's fault except his, you know. So I mean, my heart went out to the guy, and I spoke with him as lovingly as I could, you know, without trying to condemn him or anything like that. Well, he ended up going home with the real good news. So if we could just pray for him. His name is Mark. And he goes to one of these churches locally.
Yeah. Okay. I'm writing this down just a second. Okay. Yeah, let's pray for him. Well, Lord, we lift up Mark to you. You know him, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the authority you've given us over all the power of the enemy. And I break the power of Satan over Mark right now in the name of Jesus. I command doubt and unbelief to go. I command condemnation to go from him. I command rejection to go from him, fear of rejection to go from him in the name of Jesus. I command all hindering spirits to be bound up and cast off of him right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you that when he starts reading the real good news, that you'll supernaturally give him understanding in that book in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that he's going to be an awesome, mighty man of God in Jesus' name. Mark, you be delivered, healed, and set free in the name of Jesus. I declare and decree you into the kingdom in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you for granting repentance unto him in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Father. All right. Anybody else want to pray for him? Yeah, Julie.
Yeah, I would like to pray for Mark too. Heavenly Father, thank you for Mark. I thank you for his life and where you've had him and where you're going to bring him, Father. I thank you for bringing him into you and Lana's life, and they were able to talk with them. And Lord, I know that your word doesn't return back to you void. So I know that whatever they spoke, which was of Christ, Lord, in time, it'll bear fruit there. I also just want to bind up the spirits of pride and self-righteousness and unfairness and just lying and deceiving spirits that God doesn't love him. And that salvation isn't his, that, you know, he's never good enough. And all these deceiving, accusing, and condemning spirits, failure, and just unworthiness and unloving spirits, we just bind you in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that you would give Mark the revelation of what it is to confess his sins to you. And what that means to him. If he does that, you'll forgive him of everything, and that you'll cleanse him of all those things, Father. And that, Lord, you pour out a spirit of love upon him, because he really needs that, Lord. He needs to know your love, and he needs to come to you and expecting. So I pray that you'll give him that gift of faith to come to you believing in Jesus' name. And I pray your protection on him, Father, and that you would also deliver him from relationships that are defiling him, that are not good for him in his life right now, Lord, that he'd be able in time, Lord, to walk away from relationships that have done damage to him. And I pray also, Lord, that you show him where he needs to forgive all who has harmed him, who have done wrong to him. I thank you, Lord, for the power of your love and your spirit, Lord, that are even working in his heart tonight, Father. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Go ahead, Sue.
Yeah, I would like to claim both of those prayers for my brother, Mark. He proclaims he's a believer, but his actions has not proved that. So he needs to repent. So, Lord, I do pray that these prayers that were lifted up for this other Mark would also be put on my brother, Mark, and also that he would have a repentant heart, that you would open up his eyes and ears to the truth and bring him to repentance, Father. Send laborers across their path, both Marks. Send more laborers. Send laborers across their path that they would see the truth and be set free. In Jesus' name, and we bind up all the evil spirits that have caused problems with these two, both of these brothers, both of these ones named Mark. Command you, Satan, to cease your activities over them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Both Marks, you come out of that den of iniquity and come on in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, anyone else? Adelina preaching the word. No, she's singing. You singing, Adelina? Amen. Uh-oh, there she goes. All right, anybody else got a prayer request? How about a praise report, testimony?
I'll put my hand up.
Yeah, go ahead, Greg.
I just want to give the Lord glory for something. It's nothing to do with me directly, but I really just don't think he's got a lot of credit for this. But in the hills northeast of Perth in the recent days, weeks, there was a very reasonably serious bushfire, and I had some refugees stay with me, as I've mentioned last week, and on their particular house, the line, you know, the zone, you know, danger, just stopped. It didn't move the whole time, but overall, you know, we've had rain hit here, and wash these things out. And it's gone, you know, and of course the politicians take the credit for bringing in this water bomber and this other thing. And I'm going, I just want to, you know, in the assembly of believers, go, just say thank you, Lord, for what you did in putting that out and preserving it. And I'm sorry we don't give you, you know, as a society, we don't give you glory for these things. That'll do.
Amen. We believe with Greg. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? I'd like to pray for a lady that I'd met last week. She belongs to a religion that's caught up in the law. Lord, I lift up Jan to you, and I break the power of this religion off of her in the name of Jesus. And I ask, Lord, you told me that she was one of yours and that we need to pray for her. So we're praying right now, Lord, that the power of this religion be broken off of her in the name of Jesus, and that you would open up her eyes and her ears, her spiritual eyes and spiritual ear, to see the truth of the gospel. Lord, I thank you for doing that. And I break the power of this law religion off of her. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to place her in the rest of you. The rest, Lord, that she doesn't know anything about. Father, she feels like she's got to do this. She's got to do that. She's got to have meetings on this certain day. And Father, we just thank you for breaking all of that out of her in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for busting her free from all of that law stuff in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. It's done. Thank you, Jesus. All right, who's next? Yeah, Lena.
So I didn't really want to speak about this, but I guess I will. I have been kind of like at battle with myself lately. I am due to give birth on April 9. So I'm 31 weeks pregnant. I'm pretty far along. And I still have not decided whether to do a hospital birth or a home birth. I'm really, really wanting to do a home birth. And when we came here to Tennessee, I felt that the Lord sent the perfect midwife. She's a Christian. I read her testimony online. It's amazing. She's such a sweet lady, wonderful. But my husband and I went through a really difficult financial situation. So we're still trying to stabilize. And it's $3,500. She's giving me a $1,500 discount if I go with her, but that still leaves $3,500 that would be due by the time I am 38 weeks. I also applied for Medicaid to see if we'd get accepted, then I could get a hospital birth for free. And Medicaid approved me. And so then I was like, well, is this God telling me that I need to just put what I want aside and go with the hospital birth? But I really, really don't want to. And I don't know. At this point, like, I don't even know what to pray for. I'm just like, God, give me clarity because I want to make the right decision. I don't want to be selfish and just do what I want. And so I keep praying for him to put his desires in my heart. And I don't know what the right decision is to do, really. Okay. And so I don't know if you guys could pray about that for me.
I'm going to see if some of these women can give her some advice because I'm not up on that kind of stuff. Okay, I can see we got a lot of people here that's interested. I don't know which way to go, but I'm going to pray this. I'm going to pray something for you. Lord, you know what she needs. You know what's best for her. Lord, I know that pharmakia is witchcraft, and I'm not trying to put anything on them, but I know that midwives are, I don't know how they do all of that. I don't know. But I'm asking you to give them the wisdom to know which way to go. And I know you'll do it, Lord. I know you're going to give them a solid confirmation on which way to go. I know the $3,500 is not a problem for you, Lord. You own all the hills that the cattle are on. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to do whatever it takes to get them confirmation in their hearts to understand which way to go in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Alina and David. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else want to pray? Yeah, Greg.
Just finding the mute button. Lord, I just want to acknowledge that you are the one who has brought this child into being, and you are the one who has been knitting this child together in a mother's womb. And you saw before the foundation of the earth, this child's whole travail and Alina's whole travail from the womb to, I guess, this atmosphere. And I just want to acknowledge, Lord, I know I'm not going through it, but I want to acknowledge that that you've got this. And you know, from our human point of view, what's important now is for this birth to happen. I want to ask for the circumstances to fall into line for David and Alina. That their concerns would be cast entirely on you. And Lord, I just declare it's now your problem, not theirs. That the path for this child, from where he or she is now to where he or she will be somewhere come early April, will be guarded either side by the legion of your angels. And that everything will work together for good. Lord, for funds, and Lord, I want to just call for restoration too on the financial situation that's hit them. Lord, teach us, and you know, I put my hand up here, to know that our trust is in you. But yes, I tell the concern and fear to get out. And I just want to cite 1 Timothy 2:15. Women will be preserved through the bearing of children if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control and discretion. Lord, I just want, you know, the nuances and everything of that verse. I'm just reading it from the Amplified, but that preservation belongs to Alina and all those amongst us who are or will be our children. Amen. Over.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's a good prayer. Yeah, go ahead, Sue.
Yeah, I'd like to agree with that prayer, and I come against any evil spirits that would try to hinder what you want to do through them, Lord. I pray that they not be moved by all that's going on around them, but they be moved by your spirit, that you would give them the power and the means and the way that you want them to go. That they would know that it's your way, like you said, having the wisdom, Lord, that there would not be any fear, because you didn't give them the spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. So I thank you, Father God, that knowing that you are going to supply their every need, because your word says that you will supply their every need according to your riches and glory, and that you turn all things around for the good, Father, that because they have been called by you and they love you, and that you will take care of all their needs, and you will cover them and keep them in yourself, and they will know beyond a shadow of doubt, they will know what you want them to do and follow after you, and not man's way, but your way, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And not have any regard for anything else, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Go ahead, Julie.
Amen. I'm just going to add to what Sue prayed there. Father, I thank you for Alina and David. I thank you for this baby. And I thank you, Father, that you know how all of her labor is going to go. And I stand in faith with my brothers and sisters here that Alina has absolutely not only no fear about all of this, but she has no anxiety, no worry. There's no stress on her. There's no worry about making a mistake and doing something wrong. There's no condemnation for what to those who are in Christ Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you do give her complete clarity of mind, and you lead her by your word, by your spirit, that you would even show David and Alina both, Lord, what your will is in this and what your desire is, and that they will have the faith, whichever way they decide to make, whatever decision they make, Lord, that they'll have peace. And they will have faith to do what you put in their heart to do. And I thank you, Lord, for lifting them up. and all that heaviness and all the worry about it, that you've taken that all away, because it's already come out into the light. It cannot stay. And it's gone in Jesus' name. That they're going to have the peace that they need in their hearts and the ability to hear you and make a clear decision on what your will is for both of them and for the baby, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Debbie.
Yeah, I was going to share something first before I pray, but I had three home births and midwives, and, you know, they just blessed the body with doing this. And I want to pray that, you know, for her. That, but I just pray, Lord, that you will make this decision by changing the heart of this midwife, Lord,
yep,
causing her to want to trust in you as she blesses Alina. Is that your name? Sorry. Mm-hmm. And Lord, that you can do that, Father. We thank you that you will do that, Lord God. And Lord, that you can make this decision for them by showing them if there's somebody else, Lord, out there, God, that you can bring into their life, Lord, who will do this to just bless, Lord, to bless her, Lord God. And we know that this is possible, Father. And we just lift that up to you, Lord. And we thank you, God, that you'll make this decision, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's what I was thinking too, Debbie. Might somebody else liable to come along. Won't charge anything. Just do it. David, look on YouTube, son. You might be able to do it yourself. Just saying. Amen. Lord, we just thank you. Whatever it's going to be, it's going to be a blessing to both of them, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Yeah, go ahead, Will.
Yeah, I was doing the math with the South African rand ratio, and it's half a car. Half a car to get that midwife in, but I'm sure if it's the Lord's will, he will pay the amount. And I was just, when in 1994, just I think when the end of apartheid, the rand was, I think, stronger than the dollar, and now it's 14 rands for $1. So there was so much emphasis on freedom. It's funny how things work, you know. In the mainstream media, there is this emphasis on freedom and equality that's being thrown. I see even on Oprah's show, it was presented, and everyone sees this freedom that South Africa has. And at the other side, the rand dollar value is falling so much. It's being stronger than the dollar, and now 14 rand plus for every dollar. You're never gonna escape poverty like that, you know. If your currency drops so much, people are gonna be enslaved to poverty. On the other hand, you know, it can be far worse being enslaved to poverty than the other rights and issues that was made such a big fuss of. So it's interesting, you know. Not that I'm against the rights and freedom that they fought for, you know, but it's just so interesting how things are ice cakes. I just want to pray about something. I now that we're on the topic of kids, there is 1.8 million kids up for adoption in South Africa, and only 2,000 adoptions happen each year. So it's like the lady said, there's a drop. It's a drop in the ocean compared to the 1.8 million kids that's up for adoption. I guess adoption is better than abortion. It's much better than aborting. So I just want to pray about that. Lord, we pray for the 1.8 million situations in South Africa, all the kids waiting for parents to adopt them. Lord, we pray about the situation And we praise you that they haven't been aborted, that their lives have been spared, that they can manifest Christ. And we pray about the situation, Lord, and we just place it at your feet. Thank you for bringing it up and letting me pray for it tonight. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for all of those children. We heard this morning that 5 million children have been brought up out of the tunnels just in the U.S. alone. And most of them have to be brought out at night because they've never seen the light of day. And I just want to pray for them. Lord, thank you for answering our prayer. We've already prayed for them a number of times, and I'm asking everybody here to believe with us that these children are taken care of by you in whichever way you deem necessary, Lord. And I thank you for doing it, Father. I know that the resources are limited and the people are limited. And Lord, we just ask for a miracle here on these children, that you bring them up, run them through these, whatever it is, I don't know, these things that they've got, but I want you to be in charge of those things, Lord, those med beds, and to not allow the enemy to change their DNA in any kind of way, Father, that you would oversee all of that, that the kids that go through this thing would come out healthy, mentally and physically, in the name of Jesus. And we praise you for doing that, Father, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask and we pray that you rise up somebody with the means to provide homes for these children, in Jesus' name, or at least find their parents that they've been snatched from. And Lord, we thank you for doing that, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. There's no telling the number that would be worldwide if they got that many here. But anyway, thank you, Lord. Okay, who's next? Okay, we had who was it that suggested that? Was that you, Andrew, about the fear of God? That was Greg. Okay, Greg, you can start out on the fear of God.
All right, this is an easy subject. No, it's not. No, sorry, I'm curious a little bit. It was about a month ago now. I just looked at my notes. I was, I think I was sitting down to, well, I don't know, something rather, but anyway, these words just came to my mind. And it was, you know, my children, listen to me and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. And I thought, where did that come from? Because it sounds kind of biblical and stuff. So I checked it out. And it actually is in Psalm 34, 11. So it kind of started me pondering, okay, what is this, the fear of the Lord thing? And obviously I have to listen to find out because it's something it's going to be taught. But I've had a bit of a look at it in scripture, that phrase, and there seems to be two kinds of the fear of the Lord. The best illustration I've found, the two instances appearing together in 2 Chronicles 19, verses 7-9. Which king is that? I think it was Joash, but don't get me wrong, could have been Jehoshaphat. You can just click over there. Is setting up judges. 19, just give me a second. Jehoshaphat, yeah, setting up judges throughout the land. And he gives them a charge. He says, now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. Verse 8, and moreover in Jerusalem did Jehoshaphat set of the Levites and of the priests and of the chief of the fathers of Israel for the judgment of the Lord and for the controversies when they returned to Jerusalem. And out of verse 9, and he charged them, saying, thus shall ye do in the fear of the Lord, faithfully and with a perfect heart. Now, verse 7 and verse 9 both say the fear of the Lord. But the word fear is different in both two situations. And I only bring that up because they're too close together.
Can I ask where you are, Greg? I thought you said Second Chronicles.
19:7, yeah. 7 to 9.
Okay, 19:7, okay.
I beg your pardon, yes, I just need to enunciate more clearly. Yeah, anyway, I had these two kinds of the fear of the Lord, and what I've looking through Scripture, and particularly in the Old Testament, the fear of the Lord is only mentioned once in the New Testament that I found, and that was in Acts 9. But in the Old Testament, there was this fear of the Lord that fell upon the enemies, you know, after, you know, David wiped out, you know, this country and that country and this force and that force, which is an almighty dread, or the fear of the Lord that, you know, kind of fell upon the inhabitants of Canaan before the Hebrew people, or when the Hebrew people went in there. But this the fear of the Lord that's the beginning of wisdom is a different word. I'm not going to be able to define it, and I'm not here to teach it. I'm here to kind of learn about it. And I don't think it's probably, with a lot of things I've found in Scripture, it's not definable, probably. But the first fear, looking in Strong's, and it was, for those who want to follow Strong's, it's H6342, it describes it as a sudden alarm, a dread, or dread or fear or great, a terror, let's put it that way. Where the second is more, not quite as alarming, but I don't know. It's second one is H3374, and it describes it as morally reverence, a dread exceeding fear. I would call it a shuddering respect. It's the nearest thing I can get to it. But yeah, I'm interested in what any input others might have on the topic. You know, yes, there are a lot of things in Proverbs, and I'm working through Proverbs at the moment because it connects up to so many things, the fear of the Lord. Isaiah, where was it in Isaiah? Just give me a second because I did have it up. It's one of the seven spirits in Isaiah. It's one of those as well. But anyway, I'll draw on the congregation for wisdom, please. Don't go all at once, please. I'll be overwhelmed.
Hey. One of the first things that came to me, just, you know, not even looking at the scriptures, but you're meditating on them, is just like the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And when you get a revelation of who God is and your sinfulness, and you get a real reverent, holy fear of God, that He is in total, you know, the revelation that you can get of the knowledge of God and who He is, and, you know, the wisdom that He reveals to you about Himself, that your very life is in His hand, His control, and He can do whatever. I mean, you look at maybe your past and where you've been and what you've done, and how you know, He saved you, or how He chastened you, or how, you know, you were held accountable for your acts or whatever, but just the revelation of, you know, His sovereignty and His power. And you get a real awe of God, and this is a holy reverent fear of God, you know, that you respect him and you don't want to do anything wrong. You know, you don't want to displease him. You don't want to sin, you know, when you recognize what sin is and accountable for your works and just, you know, am I going to go to hell or, you know, whatever, however, you knew you first come to the Lord and you get a revelation of him and however that may come to you. It's a reverent, wow, God, kind of, you know, wisdom of God, knowledge.
That's well, all. That's a good, but the sovereignty of God should put the fear of God in people. Go ahead, Benita. I'm going to let y'all do this.
As she was talking, I was just thinking about just kind of like looking at it from the other side. If you don't fear the Lord, for those that don't know the Lord, and you just see it even today in today's world, that they just go about doing ungodly things and they don't have any fear of the Lord. They don't know him and they can't fear him and they don't have any knowledge and it's no big deal. They can just do it. So I don't know if it helps to look at it from that side. If you don't have the fear, where it leads you. And I mean, it's like when I talk to my dad and we talk about morals and I tell him about the absolute morals that God puts in the Bible and he guides us with. And my dad is more of a, well, society will guide and they'll decide what the right morals are and what the right values are. And then you look at what's happening in the world today and it's not right. I mean, if you compare that to what the Bible says, it's like the polar opposite because there is no knowledge and wisdom and fear of the Lord. That's all I have.
Amen. Okay. Anyone else? Andrew, go ahead, brother.
Okay. I have a couple of verses here, but the first thing I'd like to mention is the fear of the Lord is a light that's in you. It's part of your temple. It's the light of God. You should be asking for the fear of the Lord, to be reverent to him always. Because with trial has to come the fear of the Lord, first of all. And in Isaiah chapter 11, 1 and 2, it's got the fear of the Lord there, and that's one of the lights in your lamps. And the church has a lamp in Revelation. It's spoken of chapter one, it's spoken of the lamps and each seven items there, which would be the Spirit of God. If you read it and peruse it, the central light is the Spirit of God, both holy and anointed. Then I think on either side of that Spirit would be the fear of the Lord and the strength of the Lord. And the wisdom would be right next to the fear, and then the understanding and the teaching and the knowledge. I'm not saying that's the order, but it just seems to make a lot more sense to have the two items, fear and strength, right next to the Spirit of God. Because that strength of God is the power of God functioning in you through your lamp and the corporate lamp. Because we are in a corporate lamp here too. And some really interesting fear verses I got were in the book of Revelation 14 and 7 is one of them. That's kind of like the church half of it, because that's the chapter for the good guys, the ones who have the mark of God, you know. And 14 and 7 is kind of like three sevens in a row, and saying with a great voice, fear God and give him glory, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made the heaven and the earth and the sea and the fountains of water. You know, I like when I see creation in the last book of the Bible. Anyway, so I associate this fear also with giving God glory and giving him also worship. Because it's a woman at the well there in spirit and truth. Okay, it's not a specific area of the world. But I found another fear that wasn't in my concordance. And that's the 19th chapter, the fifth verse. And there it says, and a voice came forth from the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his bondmen that fear him, the small and great. So, you know, that's based on the maturity of a Christian. So it also backs the item that this light of fear has to be within your individual lamp and the corporate lamp for reverence unto God. So, and reverence unto God is progressive with your maturity, I think, because it's small and great, because even an apostle would have a greater measure of fear, I believe, and reverence toward God because of his maturity and because of all the brightly shining lights in his lamp within his temple. So a high reverence for him is a good ability. And, you know, sometimes you get comforted with fear. I even believe that if you're going to collate it with some other concepts, one of them would be the love of God. Because if you fear him, you're going to obey him. So that's kind of interesting how it would work in with the fruit of the Spirit, because you get the fruit from the word, and you got to also have that glory from God, because he's the one who advances you in the glory and gives you more glory, gives you a greater ability in your light, so that you as a priest look after your light, and he gives you that glory too, because he wants to share his glory with you. Anyways, that's what I got.
Go ahead, Judy or Sue.
Well, it's me this time.
Okay.
I just wanted to mention my experience that I had this summer, the fear of the Lord, and to obey him. I wanted to go to Indiana and to visit my kids and stuff. And I thought it was okay, but I hadn't really heard from him like I should have. But I guess I was convincing myself that it was okay. Well, one of the ladies here, Sandy, the Lord told Sandy that if I went back to Indiana, I wouldn't be coming back to UBM. Well, that put the fear of the Lord in me completely. You know, I just didn't want to obey him. So I didn't go to Indiana. And I'm so glad I didn't, because the Lord honored me by not doing that. He had my two girls come to see me here in Tennessee at Christmas time. So I thought that was pretty cool. So thank you, Lord, for that. But I did really get the fear of the Lord, and I definitely wanted to obey him. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your fear. Go ahead, Will. I'll get you next, Angelica.
Yeah, the topic of the fear of the Lord. If you spent the last 10 years debating with the once saved, always saved crowd, to please fear the Lord. This is a hot topic because they refuse to accept any fear of the Lord, or fearing the Lord as something to even to the 1% to consider, because God is love, and the fear is now out of the door. There's no fear fear to consider. The funny thing is Dirk Pola and I and my sister, and my sister used to date a guy who was very once saved, always saved. And we went to visit Dirk and Pola once. We were driving past their farm when they were still staying here in our province. And we spent the whole evening debating the fear of the Lord with that guy. And we all had our opinions. And at the end of that 2-hour debate, we just all concluded that it would be good to pray for a healthy fear. Because if you've got too much, it's a problem. And if you've got too little, apparently it's the problem. So it's good to have a healthy fear. The one thing that I just want to bring to the conversation is John 13, verse 15. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. And I remember last week I added that, I don't know, if you were ever in a situation where you had to sacrifice your body, it's a commandment that the Lord wants you to put your body now on the altar, your flesh, for some Christian, well, in the Bible, some Christians has to put their flesh on the table. The fear of the Lord, it just didn't feel like, I just want to ask the Lord to guide me not to make a mistake or say something that is wrong. I just want to sort of think about it, that when it comes to that high level of obedience, the fear of the Lord is not going to be, it's not going to suffice. It's not going to suffice. The love of the Lord is the key obedient motivator. If I look at this verse in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. Sometimes it's like, oh, Lord, I need to obey you so much right now. And then it's sort of this inner prayer or this inner something going on in my spirit, wanting to pray for more fear. And then maybe that's a huge mistake. Lord, I must fear you or respect you. I don't know. But the other verse that I've got is seek your own salvation with fear and trembling. Which is a funny verse, and it's in the New Testament, it's in our new contract agreement, so you've got to pray for that fear that you'll seek your salvation with fear and trembling. I remember David saying that you don't miss it, you're not allowed to miss it. And then in John, it's again, the love of the Lord is the main obedient factor, so it's all interesting. It's a very good topic, the fear of the Lord.
Thank you, Will. Go ahead, Angelica.
I just want to share a couple of thoughts and a couple of scriptures as well. I when I was baby Christian, I made the mistake of thinking that the fear of the Lord was a feeling. And it is, you know, God can definitely give you a feeling and understanding, you know, by feeling of what it is to fear God. I mean, to fear the anger of the Lord, to fear the pleasure of the Lord, you know, his, you know, him being pleased with you. There's different things he can allow you to feel, but I always thought, you know, that, you know, that in itself was what the fear of the Lord is. If I didn't feel that, then I must, you know, not be fearing the Lord, you know. So I made that mistake, but I wanted to read scripture, Hebrews 10 and 31, that says, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And then I was looking up Psalms 34 and 11, which says, you know, come my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. And so, you know, the fear of the Lord, you know, stated here in Strong's is just a very simple thing. It's respect and reverence. And so, and it says here, teach, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So, you know, to teach what it's saying here is to exercise, you know, to be taught or trained in it. And so, you know, just with that, those simple scriptures, we know that, you know, the fear of the Lord teaches us to reverence God and his word and what he requires, because he means business. You know, he's a holy God. We realize that when he cleansed us and when he saved us out of the stuff that we were in, that he could have just as well given us that justice that we deserved, that we would have been in hell, you know, many times over, many of us. And so that understanding puts the fear of God in you, because you have a wonderful Father in heaven who spared you, although he didn't have to. And so just with that knowing that he is sovereign over all things, and as you continue to be exercised in the word and learn through your mistakes, you know, his grace, and also his, you know, the Bible also says, you know, behold the goodness and the severity of God. So as we walk this walk, you know, I think we, you know, we can experience that, you know, in our failures, in our ignorance, in our stubbornness, you know, we can feel the goodness and the severity of God. And it teaches us, you know, as children growing up to fear our Father, because he means business and the word of God will not return void. So just knowing that, I think it keeps most of us, and we want to love and honor him because of not just the fearful things, because I don't think that's our main focus, but our main focus is that he is sovereign over us, and that he first extended his love to us. And so we, you know, that keeps us wanting to love and reverence him for those qualities. I just wanted to share that.
Amen. That's good. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, Angelica kind of touched on where I was going, but I was drawn to Zephaniah chapter 5 or 3, and where the Lord is going to, at the end, he's going to gather the nations and pour out his indignation upon the peoples. And, you know, all's, on Judgment Day, all we can argue for is justice, because that's all we're, you know, the natural are really entitled to. You know, we're saved by grace. But, you know, we need to fear the Lord because it's his grace. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves. It's only him. And just that, you know, like my point was that all that we were really entitled to is justice. And if it wasn't for God's grace, there wouldn't be any of us saved. So I just want to thank the Lord for drawing us and giving us grace.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Pat.
Sorry, I was praying and I lost my thought. I was drawn to that scripture in Jeremiah 32 and 38. It says, they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me forever for the good of them and their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from following them to do them good. And I will put my fear in their hearts that they may not depart from me. And I was thinking of the singleness of heart. I know that that scripture can be interpreted or applied in a couple different ways. It can be applied in, I will give them or the group or the corporate people one heart, which is applicable, because it obviously is true that all of those who are born again and have been given one spirit and one life, and one desire and heart to seek God and to serve God and to have Him in our lives. And so that one heart is applied, it is in the corporate body, so to speak. But it can also, I believe, mean one heart as in singleness of heart. And that is more applicable to us as individuals, because we know that we are born into this world with the heart of stone, or the heart of the earth. Our knowledge, our desires, everything, our cravings, our loves, our lust, everything was all foundational and come from the earth, until He who is from above was born in our heart, and we became born and transitioned into another kingdom. We were given a new heart, and yet the remnants of an old heart, or that earthly heart, which has its remnants in the soul, is in many ways still there. Obviously, that's the reason for sanctification, the reason for God separating us and allowing us to see that which functions within ourselves, so that we can see it, we can perceive it, and we can make the willful choice to separate from it by God's grace and seek to move into that secret place of the Most High, that singleness of heart, singleness of focus. And so when I look at that aspect of it, and I see that God says, I will give them one heart, meaning God is that there is a process, an end result, an ultimate goal, shall we say, of one singleness of heart and mind and soul and strength, one way. And God said He will give that to us, and I believe has given that to us, but I think will manifest in a greater way. There is the promise of that manifestation of that singleness, that one heart. And God wants to give us that, or says He will give us that, that we may fear Him forever. In other words, that it will even be in addition, that singleness of heart will also be the motivating factor, that we will, through that, the strength of that singleness of eye and singleness of heart and focus, we will fear Him even more. That fear of God will be, shall we say, perfected or completed. And then in verse 40, it said, and as that is happening, and I will make an everlasting covenant agreement with them, that I will not turn away from following them to do them good. And I will put my fear in their hearts, in their single heart, I will put my fear. And the reason for that fear, of course, is that we may not depart from God. So I kind of see it in I don't know, in phases, but I do see it as a as a destination. I don't see it as something that we are constant. I believe that this complete singleness, perfection of heart that that establishes and allows us to function in this pure fear of God, I think that's something that is attainable and God is going to pour out in these final days. And that that there is a perfection or a completeness that God has in mind through this whole process that we're here on earth, that we're, you know, here on this ball of mud for a particular reason. With that in mind, I was thinking for the last few days, I guess maybe thinking about this whole fear of the Lord, and was thinking of this process of sanctification that we go through, the constant purification seeing something evil or moving into a greater step of faith, or there's always something that's against us that needs to be overcome, it seems like. And sometimes I kind of had to pull back and say to myself, what's the reason for all this, Lord? Why are you doing this? I mean, why is this? When we get saved, we just get saved and you snatch us out of here and take us to heaven and we're all in bliss and love and peace and joy and harmony forever. That doesn't happen. There's a purpose for this whole process. And I got the thought, I can't say it was a vision, but it was just the thought of God, like he did the Egyptians of old. He pulled them out of Egypt, and then he spent the next 40 years trying to pull Egypt out of them, because God is the master builder. I got this concept of him being an architect. He's building a place. He's building a temple. He has a temple in mind, a place where he can dwell comfortably, peacefully, in harmony, at rest. It's like in your home, you may have that favorite chair that you go to and you sit down because it's comfortable, and you sit there all the time and everybody knows it's your chair. You know, you always sit at the front of the table or here or there or whatever. You have this comfortable place because you're comfortable there. You feel at peace. You feel something inside. You just feel good about it. You have your favorite cup. You have or all these things. Well, God has, he wants to feel at peace and at comfort in his home. And he's chosen his home to be that temple. That temple made without hands. And that temple is us, is his people. And that's where he's chosen to want to dwell. And so in order to do that, he has to create that environment within his people that not only he can feel comfortable, but his children, his people may feel comfortable there as well. That being said, I think it all ties back into this fear of the Lord, because that fear of the Lord it is a multifaceted diamond, in that if you look at it from one way, from one time, from one period in your life, whether it be in a period of a lack of maturity, or it's a period of your life where you need to repent or whatever, well, that fear and that motivation of fear of God may reflect in you and engender in you a different motivation to get out of or to change where you're at that time. You may have another time when you're looking more on the love of the God and that fear and respect and awesome respect of God and his power and authority. And that may be what you need at that time. So I think the fear of the Lord is also applicable to many aspects of your life. But anyway, I've rattled on too much. That's all I had.
Okay, thank you, Pat. Go ahead, Will.
I just want to ask, what would, if there is anything like that, what would be an unhealthy fear relationship? What would be characterized as having an unhealthy fear relationship with the Lord?
Can I answer that?
Absolutely. Go ahead, brother.
I think there's the fear of the Lord is in the respect. The fear of the Lord is in terror. But I think the worst would be not to have any fear of the Lord at all. I think that would be very unhealthy.
Let me interject something here. It might be helpful. I don't know. When you first come to the Lord, you should have a fear of the Lord. That draws us to him a lot of times. Of course, he draws us to us. He uses all kinds of mechanisms to get us there, but he uses the best ones, whatever it is that brings us in. But fear of the Lord is one of them. And when you come in to the kingdom and you have that fear of the Lord, but as you learn who Christ is and what happened and all of those things that he did, he went through, and you go through the Gospels and then you go through the epistles, you start learning to love the Lord. You love him for what he did. And actually, I believe that the physical fear of the Lord turns into a reverential fear after you learn and starting to mature in the Lord. As you mature, you lose that. Well, I don't want to say lose it. It's not as big a physical fear as it is a love. Go ahead, Julie.
Thanks. Something that came to my mind to answer Will's question about wrong kind of fear might be in the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. In verse 24, he says, "He also that had received the one talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou did not sow and gathering where thou did not scatter. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth, and lo, thou hast my own.' But the Lord answered and said unto him, 'Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest I reap where I sow not and gather where I did not scatter. You ought therefore to have put my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received back my own with interest.'" And, you know, the end of that that scenario was, you know, he was bound and, you know, an unprofitable servant was cast out into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And it's just, it's an unhealthy fear of the Lord. where you would think of him as a hard taskmaster, a hard man. You know, you can't please God and just have an unhealthy fear, and that might come from a fear of rejection of God, thinking that, you know, he's that way, that he's not this loving father, but, you know, he chastens every son whom he receives. But if you still have a wrong image of who God is based on, you know, your past, based on bad relationships with your own father or, you know, authoritative figure in your life, that, you know, you just can't see God anything other than like this unprofitable servant did, might be a wrong kind of fear. And then I had another thought on the fear of the Lord. Psalm 119, where it talks about the precepts of the Lord, the law of the Lord, and the testimony of the Lord. But verse 9, where it says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And that word clean there is clean, pure, morally clean, pure, fair. It's a cleanness. And I believe what the Lord is saying there is like, you know, we have the fear of the Lord, you know, it's, we don't want to sin, you know, we're to, you know, fear the Lord and depart from evil, you know, and we are to be like him, you know, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And I just believe when you have a fear of the Lord, you understand, you know, it's the beginning of wisdom. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You learn what God wants from you, and then you learn what his grace is, and you learn all about who he is and how much, you know, he does love us, and that it's our faith that he uses to bring us into that place of cleanness and purity and perfection, and it's his work then to do that. But you read down in verse 10, it says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the droppings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, in keeping them is great reward. And I just, you think about all of that, and it's like when you recognize all of that, and you put it all together and you meditate on all of those things, it's like, you know, our reward is Christ and coming into his image and bearing his fruit, you know, 100-fold, but you go through a lot of stuff, you know, to get there. But you still have a fear of the Lord, and that's, you know, he's making us pure. He's making us clean. He's making us into his image. Great reward. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Will.
Yeah, that's why I was asking. That was for one of those reasons, because I'm not, I wish I was better prepared. There was a lady in the UBM community. She had a dream about rejection lied, Father loved me, like this fear of rejection or that type of bad fears, which are very unhealthy. And the Lord came and corrected her with a dream, because she had just this very big misconception as to what the character of the Lord was, and he wanted to see him in a whole different way, him being a very loving doctor, just eager to hand out gifts. She wasn't aware that he wanted that kind of relationship rather than a fear relationship. And for me, I feared the Lord, like heavily the Lord came down on me, or like something came down on me. The huge fear of the Lord came upon me for a few months. And it felt like the Lord was extremely jealous about who you fear. And you're only allowed to fear him and nothing else. And it's sort of like this whole thing. And then I opened up a random, like a daily devotional. And the guy said, spoke about David and his punishment for his sins with Bathsheba, I don't know in English, and He said a Christian that sins is going to has to pay an extremely high price. And that just put such an unhealthy fear on me. For such a long time, I didn't feel welcome in the presence of the Lord. I was constantly aware of my sins, which I wasn't able to conquer. And then a few months later, I did perfection through Christ. And then that David said, if a Christian that sins willfully, that willfully was so important from a Christian that sins, because that immediately freed me from so much unnecessary fears that I can be confident in the presence of the Lord as long as I don't sin willfully. So that's why I just wanted to sort of also focus on an unhealthy fear relationship, because for me, I had a few experiences where the fears were so unhealthy and it was so unbeneficial to healthy fear. And it was just a thought.
Amen. Well, go ahead, Missy. I'll get right to you, Pat. Missy, you got to unmute.
I tapped it, but I guess I missed it. Anyway, when Julie shared and then what Will shared, what was going through my mind before they shared was, an unhealthy fear of God, I think lots of times comes when you don't understand grace and you are in your works, you're under legalism, which brings you into condemnation. And that brings an unhealthy fear when you don't understand God's grace, that God doesn't want your works. There's nothing you can do to please him other than just believe his word. You know, what's that in Hebrews? I knew there's a verse there about pleasing the Lord. What is that now? I think it's Hebrews 11:6.
Without faith, it's impossible to fear, or it's impossible to please God.
Can't believe I forgot that. I was drawing a blank. Yeah, without faith, it's impossible to be well pleasing to God. That's all he wants, is you to believing that God be true and every man a liar. God is not a man that he should lie, you know? And that's an unhealthy fear when you don't understand grace and the law. Or you don't understand the difference between grace and the law. You don't understand that, you know? And then you have an unhealthy fear because you think, you know, God's just waiting around the corner to pound you, you know, or, you know, you think, you know, that you can never be good enough and you fear God's retribution, you fear God's punishment, you know, when you don't understand also, you don't understand the difference between willfully sinning and, what it says in Romans 7, the good that I want to do, I do not do, but the evil that I do not want to do, this I do. You know, who will deliver me from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has made me free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and of death, you know? So yeah, and having that love of God, when you understand then the grace, you know, that that Jesus already done it for us, all we have to do is just receive everything that he's done. You know, that love wells up in you and you don't want to sin willfully. You do not want to sin. And that, you know, is having a proper fear of God, because you know you're in fear of the Lord spanking you, you know, but, you know, at the same time, that fear, you know, that, the, you know, that the Lord disciplines those whom he loves. So those are just some thoughts. That's kind of, you know, a reiteration of bits and pieces of what others have said, but those are just some things that have come to me.
Okay, Pat, go ahead. I'll get right to you, Angelica and Will.
I just wanted to read. It's interesting that in the book of Proverbs, there's quite a few books in the Bible that have maybe one, maybe two verses related to this exact topic, but Proverbs has about 16 or 17 of them. And I just wanted to buzz through them real quick just to, I guess, maybe get a full view of it from that perspective. Verse 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but the foolish despise wisdom and instruction. 28:28, then will they call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, for they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Chapter 2. If thou seek her as silver and search for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom, and out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Chapter 8, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy in the evil way, and the perverse mouth do I hate. Chapter 9, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Chapter 10, the fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Chapter 14, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, as in his children will have a place of refuge. 14:27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may depart from the snares of death. Chapter 15, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasures and trouble therewith. Verse 33, the fear of the Lord is an instruction of wisdom, and before honor goes humility. Chapter 16, by mercy and truth, iniquity are atoned for, but by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Chapter 19, the fear of the Lord tends to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied, and he shall not be visited with evil. Chapter 22, the reward of humility and the fear of the Lord is riches, honor, and life. Chapter 23, let not thy heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all day long. So I just wanted to read those.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Angelica.
Oh, yeah, thank you for all those scriptures, Pat.
Did you have something, Denny?
I just said thank you to Pat for all those scriptures he's sent us.
Oh, okay, okay.
Welcome.
Yeah, my question, I put it in the chat, just if anyone has a testimony of perhaps when they've lost the fear of the Lord and how God restored it unto them. Otherwise, I'd just like to pray about that.
Judy had a testimony earlier. Where'd Judy go?
Yeah, I heard her. I was just wondering if
anyone else did.
And thank you, yeah, Judy.
I did. Years ago, the fear of the Lord came on. I lost the fear of the Lord. And But when it came back in a tenfold, I guess you might call it, a hundredfold. It puts you on your knees, and it makes you get to the point to where you don't want to mess up again. That's what it did to me. And from that point on, I had a fear of the Lord until I came to some more knowledge of the love of the Lord also. So it's a process. I really didn't have a fear of the Lord until the fear of the Lord actually came on me for a sin that I had. And when that sin was pointed out to me, the fear came on me. And I stayed in that fear for, I'm not talking about just a little fear. It was a heartbreaking fear. And it took a while to come out of it, but we did. Praise God. And to be honest with you, it was over sin. It wasn't that I learned it. It just came on me.
I'd like to pray real quick, if that's okay.
Sure.
Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you so much for this really edifying time of fellowship, Father God. And I bless you, Father. And Lord, I know that to a servant of God, to a son of God, there's nothing more important than to know the God that we serve, and that you are both fearful and yet you're wonderful, Lord. And so I just pray for the balance of this in my life and anyone else, Father God, who has an imbalance, Lord, of the fear of the Lord. I pray, Father, that you would restore unto us the fear of the Lord and grant us that spirit, Father God, and just that wisdom, Father God, that comes with the fear of the Lord in our every decision, Lord God, our thought life, our decision life. That we wouldn't compromise, Father God, that you continue to help us to walk in that light, Father God, and just not go to the right or to the left, Father God, as the road gets more and more narrow, Father God, as the way of perfection is, that you would help us, Father God, in your power and your strength to uphold, Lord God, your word, and fear you, Father God, and not be as the many, Father God, who just think that you're winking at their sin, or that you didn't see that, Father God, or just kind of got complacent, or start to believe that we're, you know, like some others have gone astray, Lord, and think that that you're going to just, because of the wonderful things that they're doing, that you're going to bypass their sin, Father God. And so we just thank you, Father God, for helping us, Father God, to balance this in our life, Father God, to have a holy reverence for you, Father, as our Father, as our King, as our Lord, as our Savior, Father. And I ask for a holy reverence for your word, Father God, and a renewed sense of love and respect for your word, Father God, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father, for that. All right, Will, go ahead, brother.
I just wanted to add that it's so wonderful that we know the revelation from the sum of thy word. The sum of thy word is truth. For that daily devotional or whatever I read with where the guy said a Christian that sins has to pay a serious penalty, that puts such a terrible, terrible, unhealthy fear on me. I just for months and so on just never felt good enough. I always was aware of the fact that the Lord's going to whip me, and it just getting the sum of that truth, you know, that if I sin willfully, it was so freeing, and I just want to thank the Lord for freeing me. Oh, that was horrible. There was no boldness or confidence. So I'm just thankful. If you stay in that spot, you know, that daily devotional is all over South Africa. You know, if you stay there, it's such a horrible place. You're not going to grow because you're just never going to feel always fearful. It's not a healthy, wasn't a healthy space, but the Lord had a plan. I just thought it would be nice. You know, you go to these photo stores and you print out, you can now get your like a family photo in a puzzle, you know, they'll print it out in a puzzle for you. If you could take all the scriptures of a certain subject and have it put on a puzzle and frame it for someone in a glass frame that needs the revelation. It's the sum of thy word is truth. And then just give it to them. It's a beautiful visual idea that we've got to puzzle things together and to get the final word of the Lord, the final thought. If you run with one verse, you run with that one verse, it can be so damaging just to take one verse and run with it and not put the sum of thy word and everything together and puzzle and figure it out. It's just a beautiful revelation. Sorry for sharing that, but it's so, for me, so applicable to the fear of the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Will. Those of you that asked for those verses that Pat had just got through reciting, I sent everybody a copy of those, plus all the ones that had the fear in it. Did someone not get it?
You mean we have to check our emails now?
Well, it's probably a good idea, Greg.
Sorry, Michael. My mom asked, she wants to say something.
Well, sure. Go ahead. Hey, Louise.
Hello, Michael. I've been wanting to say it, and in a way, Angelica, when she prayed for us, she basically said it in a prayer. Jesus gave us perspective on our position with the Lord when he said, "Our Father." And I had a wonderful father, and I really wouldn't want to do anything to disappoint him or hurt him, and I'd loved him so much. And I think the Lord rather wants that than, anyway, that's my thought.
That's a good thought, Louise. Yes, he does. He'd much rather we love him. He wants to fellowship with us so much.
And I just want to add, I knew my grandfather, and he was extremely strict. You know, you don't want to get him cross, but he was extremely strict. He was one of the harshest disciplinarians on the other hand, but yeah, it's just interesting.
Yeah, I know we all had different fathers. I had a good father. He put up a lot with me, I can tell you that. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, Pat.
Michael, just before we leave, can somebody tell me what the message was from that David had on the message this week, Sunday night?
That was some message from the 90s. I forget.
Was that weakness through strength or something like that? I don't know.
Missy, do you know what it was? Or Julie?
I think one of them was faith against all odds. I don't know which one, but I think one of them was from having faith against all
that,
odds.
Second one, I think, was that?
Yeah, I don't know where the other. I've heard both of them, but I couldn't tell you where there was two different ones there.
Yeah.
But against all odds.
What he does, Pat, he just picks them out randomly and sends them in to Casey to put up there.
Yeah, it was good. The both of those messages were exactly what I needed.
It should be on the update.
It is on the update, but it doesn't tell what message it is from. It sounded like it was, I remember one, I don't know how long ago, but it was something that when the odds are completely against you, that's where you're in, you know, in the best shape. You know, you're, yeah. And I don't know what the message was. I just thought maybe somebody get there, but anyway.
Yeah, Will.
No, I just have to quickly correct it. Now, I loved my grandfather. He was very loving, but he was also very strict. I just, hopefully that came out right. He was extremely, my mom really loved him. And her brothers also really loved him, but he was firm. If you were on his wrong side, you would you would know it. I just wanted to correct that. I think it came out. So it didn't come out right.
What you're telling us, Will, it seems like is that you might have been a little bit rebellious, and he might have stepped on you a little bit. Is that what you're saying? I'm just asking.
No, I was a good boy.
Okay. Well, we'll have to ask Grandpa when we get up there. Amen. All right. Anybody else before we close out? Yes, Greg.
Already unmuted anyway. Thank you for my full input. And yeah, sorry, Vanita, I think you and I are the specialists for that email because I didn't get one.
You didn't?
No, I keep pressing the
okay, email. I'll make sure that I send you to another one.
Okay. And just one other thing, going back to David and Alina, it just keeps coming back to me. The verse in Malachi 2:15, which goes something like, you know, why did he make you 2:1? Because he wanted godly offspring. And it's just, I just want to, this is what, you know, the situation with the birth of your child, he's got this. He's got it. I'll leave you to sort it all out because I know it's easy for me to say because I'm not giving birth. But that's it. I'll shut up now for a second.
Okay. All right. Anybody else before we close out? Well, thank you, Lord, for another good night. We just praise you, Father, for what you've done tonight and each and every one of us and all the ones that contributed. We ask that you bless them with some more knowledge. We thank you, Father, that all these prayers that we've prayed tonight are answered in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to tell David and Alina what to do. And we thank you for that, Father. We know, Lord, that you're going to take care of them whatever way they decide. And I believe, Lord, that you're going to show them the right way to go in Jesus' name. And I believe, Lord, that all the rest of the, that Megan's home, it's going to be hers. It's the taxes business will be taken care of in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing all these things in our lives, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we ask, Lord, that you give us a good night's sleep tonight. And that you give people dreams about the things that are coming and the things that we need to pray about, Father. Lord, I ask and I pray that your protection be upon all the white hats, the POTUS that's got around him. And Lord, we thank you for your protection upon each and every one of them. We thank you, Father, for your protection upon the men of the special forces that are going down and pulling these kids out of these tunnels all over the world. And Father, we praise you and glorify you for all the work that you're doing in these men's lives and in women's lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, good night, y'all.